Hello. Hello? Anyone on?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Is this a call that you have every week?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is my first time of calling in, and my name is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. I'm Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Yeah, maybe they're a little later. I don't know.
It's well at
Usually,
9:30 right now.
yeah. Well, usually Chris comes on a few moments before, but.
Okay. Well, I'm actually on Central Standard Time.
I'm mounting myself.
Oh, okay.
You're in the US?
I am. I live in Alabama.
Oh, okay. It's a bit south of me.
Where are you?
I live in Western Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Great, Chris.
Hello?
How are you?
Good, good. We're going to wait a couple more minutes. I think we're waiting for Lisa and Sophia, and we should get started here soon. So if I could ask everyone just to hang tight, and we'll get started.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. It's 9:32. I'm sure Sophia and Lisa will join us here shortly. We have more people filing in. Do we have any new callers, first-time callers on this call? You have to say, don't say your name, just say here or me or something.
Okay, well, I don't mind saying my name. It's Tracy, and I'm a first-time caller.
Okay, welcome, Tracy. I remember you from on the pro wall. You mentioned you're coming
Yeah.
on tonight, so welcome.
Yeah.
Do we have
Thank
others?
you.
Okay, our room is filling up very, very quickly. All right. As we start this, I'm going to go ahead and do the intro because we're waiting for a few more. All right, so everyone, welcome. Hope you all had a great week. Just going to do our intro real quick that we are the Lisa, Sophia, and myself, we are the SOS team. It's just standing on scripture. That's essentially what we're called to do when we are going through any storm. And this storm is really no different than any other storm, whether it's health or employment or any other challenge that we might be facing in life. But in all of them, we are called to always stand on scripture. So that's why we call ourselves the SOS team. I think we only mentioned that here on the conference calls. I don't think we mentioned on the prayer wall anyway, in any place. Okay, so on this conference call, as you enter the room, you know that the conference call is being recorded. We record it only because we want to be able to, for the benefit of others who are not able to join us, we do post it on the website. The website that we post it on is praisereports.org. For those of you who are not familiar with that website, I created that website for the sole purpose of just having restoration testimonials. If you go there, praisereports.org, you'll find the conference calls that are posted. You will find YouTube videos of restored marriages. You will find written testimonials of restored marriages. I think there's something 80 plus testimonials on that website. I would encourage all of you to go and check it out. We'll talk about that again later tonight. Because the conference call is being recorded, we post it. We would ask, please don't mention your spouse's name. If you do get involved in our conference call tonight and you speak up, you can use your first name or don't. It doesn't matter. And this conference call is going to be an hour and a half. We started an hour. Now it's an hour and a half because we found that there's so much that we want to cover and we only can do it once a week. So we understand if anyone needs to leave, you can simply just hang up and you can actually dial back in. It doesn't matter. If you do dial back in, please don't do the intro of, you know, introducing your name or saying your name as you come in, because that will disrupt whatever flow that we're in. Aside from that, I think that's all that we have. Lisa, Sophia, are you on the call yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Lisa, Sophia's here. Good. Do we have Lisa?
Yes, I'm on.
Lisa, here we go. Everyone's here. Okay, good. So I did the intro. We're going to go into our prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and start our journey number three, part three. And do we have any men on the call who'd like to open us up in prayer? Men or women? Anyone who'd like to open us up in prayer? Okay, I will open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We want to thank you for this, for the honor and the privilege that we can come before you and we could gather together to strengthen each other. You said that iron strengthens iron, or iron sharpens iron. And Father, that's what we're here to do. And Father, whatever we could do or say to, first of all, further your kingdom of your truth, which is absolute truth, and everything else that we see in the flesh is nothing but lies and deception from our enemy. So, Father, we thank you for this privilege and honor to come and congregate in Jesus' name before you, Father, that we might seek your face, seek your kingdom, learn more about what you say on the subject of marriage and marriage restoration. We thank you for all the promises. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that as we have this conference call tonight, that you would lead us and guide us. Father, for those who are here who are of very heavy hearts and they're here with expectation to hear you say something to them. Father, we pray that through the Holy Spirit you would move in one of us or some of us or any of us to say something that would minister to someone's heart. And only you know what that would be, the person and the word. So, Father, we ask that maybe tonight's call you can give someone a rhema word that they can walk away from tonight's conference call being restored in their walk and in their stand, standing for their marriage. So, Father, we ask that you would bless each and every heart that's on this call and that you would bless every heart that listens to this conference call later on, Father, because for you time and space is nothing, and we know that that this is possible. So we thank you, Father, for bringing us together to again further your kingdom and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so tonight's format is going to be, again, on the journey. It's part three. And we're going to do a couple of things a little bit differently. And what we're going to do is the three of us have come together and have come up with a something that I think that would help some of you, hopefully all of you, moving forward in this journey. The reason why we call it a journey is because it is a journey. And I think that one of the devotionals on the RMM website this week, they made a point of saying that it's a journey with the Lord. And anytime we encounter a storm in our lives, we know that the Lord's hand is in it. It's always in it because the Lord is in control of everything. He's completely sovereign. And he directs everything for his purposes. So when we encounter a storm, God's in it. God's waiting for each and every one of us to take our eyes off of the world and the flesh and our circumstances and make that shift, that spiritual shift and that spiritual focus to him. Because only in the storm will we encounter him in ways that would not be possible outside the storm. When we're in a situation where we need help and we turn towards him, then we're seeking him. And if we seek him, we'll find him, because that's what God says. Seek me and you'll find me. Seek the kingdom. The journey here that we're talking of is a journey really with the Lord. He just, in this situation, he happens to be using our marriage as that storm. Everyone in the world right now is going through a storm. They're either getting out of a storm or going into a storm. So we read scripture about that. You know, why do you think it's strange when something unusual happens to you or comes to you? We have that in the New Testament. So, think it's strange that when trials hit you. So this is a journey between us individually and the Lord in our relationship. And this really is a clarion call to all of us to really seek the Lord. Now, we can read a lot of books, we can watch a lot of testimonials, we can read a lot of devotionals, but at the end of the day, God wants us alone with him, focused on him. That, I think it's Psalm 91, that is the secret place where we find him. Psalm 91, verse 1, that's the secret place where we find him and we encounter him. And when we turn over all of our hurts and our prayers, our hurts and our feelings and emotions and the issues that we're facing, that's where we're going to hear him. We're going to see him do extraordinary things, and we're going to encounter him in ways we never have. But we will not experience any of those things if we're not facing him, focusing on him, and seeking him. And he told us exactly how to do it. Now, it's not necessarily a formula, like if you do all of these things, you know, if you say your, you know, all your prayers in the morning and at night, and prayer is a big part of it because he wants your heart. But he wants more than just that. He wants you to pay attention to him and spend time with him and hang out with him. And that's where we're going to experience the greatest things. And I say that because I speak from experience. Those of you who just started your journey, you know, a few weeks ago, standing for your marriage, or a few months ago, I was where you were. Where you are now, I was there. Many of us who start out on our journey, we go through the darkest moments in our lives where sometimes we think death is better than having to face what we're dealing with. And that thought has crossed many people's minds. But it's a thought. It's a thought. It's an idea from our enemy. So it's nothing unusual. Just recognize those are not your ideas. Those are emanating from something else outside of you, and that's our enemy, because just as our enemy is attacking our marriage through our spouses, our enemy is also attacking us to what? Quit our stand. And really quitting our stand is giving up faith in God, in believing him, taking him at his word literally. So that's my long way of starting tonight's session, but we're going to go in and lead in with, I think, Lisa, if you're ready, you want to share two things with, well, we call this the steps towards restoration. We're going to come up with steps towards restoration that if you take these steps as we're giving you, and you do them, wholeheartedly, you're gonna notice changes in you, your heart, and your stand. But it starts in your heart. What the changes that happen in your heart will then affect your feelings and emotions. And the feelings and emotions you're feeling right now that might be erratic, that might be up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next, and, you know, feeling torn and worn out, you can't do this anymore, you don't know what to do, you're lost, you can't live without your spouse. Those are all feelings and emotions that, like, you know, the tail wagging the dog. That's what they are. But if we focus on the heart issues, as we're discussing tonight, and we focus on that, in some of the steps we have here, as the heart changes and refocuses on God and Jesus Christ, then we will see those, we will see our feelings and emotions follow the changes in our hearts. And then we're not going to be wrestling with those feelings and emotions as much. We'll see a decline and we'll see a change, and then good stuff happens from there. But I'll let it go from here. Lisa, are you ready? I know I take a lot of time already. Are you ready?
I think so, as ready as I'm going to be.
Okay.
But I kind of lost track of where I'm supposed to start, but I think I'm ready.
Well, we have, just to help you out, Lisa, we have, you're going to share a couple of scriptures and then a song.
Oh, okay. All right. So the scriptures that I wanted to share tonight, one is Isaiah. Maybe I should share Isaiah. The whole purpose was for me to share scriptures with you, as some of us are still, you know, trying to learn and memorize scriptures. I just think it's really important that we do have a scripture that we can have on hand when the enemy throws darts at our faith. So this is one in Psalm 56, chapter verses 3 and 4, and it says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Now, what I like to do when I see a scripture like this is I really do personalize it, because I don't typically walk around saying, like, "What time I am afraid." That's just not how I talk on a day-to-day basis. So what I would probably say is, "Abba, Father, I am afraid right now. I am trusting in you, God. I'm trusting in you, Father. I'm praising your word. I'm giving you all the praise, Lord God. I'm putting my trust in you. I'm not going to fear what flesh can do to me." And I don't have to quote it. You know, God knows it. I don't have to say, "And God," that's found in Psalm 56, chapter 3 and 4. That's not what I need to do. All I need to know is that that word is there, and if that word has become alive in my spirit, and you know when a word takes hold in your spirit as opposed to when you're reading something and it really, you don't make a connection with it. This is how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word, and if that word made a connection, the word that makes a connection for me that I've shared with my daughter over and over and over again, to the point where now she's even repeating it back to me, is that I say all the time, "God, you have not given me the spirit of fear. Father, you have not given me the spirit of fear, but I have power, I have love, and I have a sound mind." That's the scripture. That's my second scripture that I wanted to share tonight. In terms of a song, the song... So I have a song, a couple of songs that I sing every morning. One of them is "Falling in Love with Jesus," and I personalize it because it's worship. When you personalize and you sing to God, or you talk to him instead of singing about him and talking about him, that's the difference between praise and worship. Worship is intimate. When you are having a conversation with your spouse, that's intimate. When you are talking to someone else about your spouse, hopefully it's a good something, then that's praise. If you're saying something negative about what they've done, or repeating something negative that they've done, then that's slander. So for me, falling in love with Jesus, the song says, I'm going to sing a little bit. It says, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Well, I personalize that, and I'll say, I've fallen in love with you, Jesus. I've fallen in love with you, Jesus. And then I just sing it as it's coming out of my heart. The other song is, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. And I may not sing the words that the original author or songwriter wrote. I sing the words that are in my heart. I sing the words that mean something to me. It may have the same melody, but it's so important that you get a song that you can sing every day. Sing that song to God. Sing it to Him because it's building your relationship with Him. Have that word that you give back to Him because it's building your relationship to Him with Him. So the second song I wanted to mention is a really old song. I would advise you to Google it if you've never heard it before. But the song just simply says, I will trust in the Lord while I live. If you sing it like that, I will trust in the Lord while I live, that's praise and that's good. But if you turn it around and you say, I will trust in you, Lord, as long as I live, then that song becomes worship. Because now you took out the Lord and all you did was say you. I will trust in you, my Father. I will trust in you, my God. However He's feeling to you at that time, when you sing that song and you personalize it like that, it becomes worship. And it takes your time with God to a whole new level. And Chris, I want to share one more thing because it's real time. And one of the ladies on the call, she texts me. She's probably on the call right now listening. And she says, is something wrong with you? You don't sound like your bubbly self. And I just responded to her in a text and said, you're very perceptive, and I'm not my bubbly self right now. And the reason was because to all of you who say, oh, I never get to talk to my spouse or I never get to see them, thank God, because until the Lord makes a change in them, what they're bringing to you are words of the enemy, and they're being influenced by a spirit that is not of God. And so when they say things, words have life. It doesn't matter if those words come from God or if those words come from the flesh, those words come from the devil. They have life. They will get into your spirit, and they can really mess you up. And so I heard a couple of words that were like pow. It was like, you know, a needle, a pin in my balloon. But the Word of God says that we will have these fiery darts come. That's part of the journey. That's the enemy's job, and especially in all phases of the journey. I'm in the latter phase of my journey right now, and so his job is to try to distract me from what God said. But I am so thankful for all the standards in my life, because as soon as that happened, there was a scripture out of Joel, I think it's Joel 2 and 26 maybe, where he said he would restore the years that the cankerworm has taken. And so I knew enough to stand in my kitchen and say, Father, I am trusting you to restore all that the enemy has stolen. Even in my disobedience, I thank you for your mercy, Father. I thank you because I don't need any signs from you. You've already given me plenty. You've given me your word, and now I'm standing on your word. What was I doing? I was fighting against that spirit of doubt and that spirit of fear that was trying to come and take over in me. And the way I had to do that was through his word. That's why it's so good to have a word, and that's why it's so good that we're yoked up with one another, because when we're yoked up with others, the word just comes, and it brings you life. It lifts you back up. And so am I totally there yet? No, because the devil, when he punches hard. And so it may take a few times of saying that. I may have to turn on my praise break music tonight and get a praise on in my bedroom. The other night, my daughter was in here. I had found a praise break music I'm black, and I believe in some good down-home gospel music. And we turned it on with the drums and the keyboard and the horns, and we're in my bedroom, and she and I were shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we shouted hallelujah till I felt a breakthrough. And I looked at my daughter's eyes, and I could just see even in her eyes there was the Holy Spirit was moving upon her. This is the time when we got to fight back. The enemy don't play fair, and neither do I. So I'm pulling out every archangel that I can. I'm pulling on every scripture, every praise, every worship, everything that I have. I got my shield of faith up, and that's what you got to have in this journey from beginning to end, even until after you are restored. And the one last thing I want to share, and I'm going to give it back over to Chris, is that earlier today, so it's not always about the spouse. When you start saying, pray for me that my spouse will have a softened heart towards me, or pray for me that my spouse won't be so mean, or whatever your prayer request is. I text Chris and Sophia earlier today, and I said, I need to pray that my spouse will not be confused and that he will come, his heart, his actions, and his words will be in agreement. And right then and there, the Lord dropped it in my spirit that whatever he gives to me for my spouse, it's to me first. So I stopped and I said, God, if there is a spot on my heart, anything, God, search my heart. If anything is not right, I ask that you will show it to me so that we can get this thing right. And so I just prayed that prayer this morning. Chris could probably look up at the time that I prayed that prayer. And here we are a few hours later. The Lord has already showed me there's jealousy in my heart, jealousy from when he was with the other woman and the things that I asked him to do, and he's not being agreeable to it. And so there's jealousy there. There's a little bit of unforgiveness there. And so I said, Father, create in me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart. Lord God, I ask you to remove any spirit of jealousy. I ask you to remove all of that from me right now. So when you pray in the will of God and he moves right then and there. His grace is sufficient. So when I'm, instead of me looking at what he said or what he's doing, I had to reflect back to myself. Because remember, the moment that man or that wife, that husband or that wife comes home, your journey doesn't stop. It's a new phase of your journey that you move into. And it doesn't take but a little something, a little spark to make them begin to doubt their entry or coming back home. So God wants to get everything out of me. So daily I have slacked up on praying, creating me a clean heart. And I have to go back to that. Lord, give me a clean heart. Give me a right spirit. And that's Psalm 51, I believe. Is that right, Chris? You say it all the time. Psalms are 51, 51st
chapter.
It is Psalm 51.
Psalm
51 and 10, or something like that. So that's my testimony. Those are my scriptures. Those are the words. Hopefully I've said something tonight that you can personalize to your journey. That's it.
Thank you, Lisa. Awesome. I want to make a comment on some of the stuff that Lisa said. One thing in particular, just this morning, I'm in my office and I happened to look over and see one of Bob Steinkamp's books. I think it was with The Mind of the Prodigal. And it was kind of scrolling through it. I've read it already, but I've scrolled through it. And I came back to a chapter that says, you know, I think it's what, 16 or 18 signs that stuff is happening, there's movement in your marriage. And one of them, all of them depict the back and forth between our enemy and the Holy Spirit moving in our spouse's heart. And so the whole purpose of that chapter, the, you know, 18 things or 16 things that, you know, you'll witness, is that back and forth that, you know, your spouse is hot today where they reach out, they're texting you, they're nice, you know, and then by, you know, that's in the morning, and by the afternoon, they're saying, you know, they're reverting back to that, you know, that part of them you don't want, you don't want to see, that the mean part, and where they're saying mean things or doing bad things. And then the next day, you know, it's, nice again. When we see that kind of behavior, that is proof that the Holy Spirit is working on their heart. So that's, Lisa, when what you said, you touched on that, it made me remember that, and I just read that again this morning, that there's, for lack of knowing of the spiritual warfare, we tend to give up, or we tend to get knocked down a lot because we don't have the knowledge that we need to understand the journey, the spiritual warfare, and what it looks like. We're all going to get knocked down from time to time. We're not immune. Lisa, Sophia, myself, we're not immune. We all struggle with, it's a daily battle. You know, today you might win, you might be on, cloud nine, you're on the top of the peak of the mountain, and you've had victory after victory after victory, and then tomorrow morning you wake up and you're just buried with, feelings and emotions that are just horrible, and you feel like you don't want to get out of bed. We encounter that. But as our journey progresses, as our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ progresses, as our knowledge and understanding grows, then we learn how to combat those feelings and emotions. We know how to take them captive, according to Ephesians 6, the spiritual armor. We take them captive, and we test each one against God's word. And if it doesn't match up with God's word, we ignore it. We move on. Matter of fact, the best countering, and Lisa, you mentioned this, the best counter to those feelings and emotions is to totally so tune it out that it has no space in your heart, in your mind, really in your mind, for it to occupy and consume your thoughts. So it's, praising the Lord, shouting out to the Lord, putting on praise music. Anything of that kind drowns out those negative feelings and emotions that attack us. And that's our enemy, you guys. That's our enemy. God did not give us those emotions. God did not give us a spirit of fear. God did not give us a spirit of weakness. God did not give us the spirit of timidity. God did not give us a spirit of quitting. But none of those that we see on the prayer wall, people come out and God bless them. We know where they are. We've been there. But none of the 100% of those negative feelings and emotions, that's the spiritual warfare. That's the spiritual warfare. And we counter that by immediately starting to praise the Lord. Whatever way it looks like, we praise the Lord. Songs, getting in the Word, praying, whatever you need to do. Because it's a battle, you guys. It's a battle. It's a daily battle. I have to get up every single morning. I have to put on my spiritual armor. And then, I have to get close with the Lord. I have to establish myself, my relationship with the Lord every single morning, my identity, who I am, my His purpose for my life, my marriage. I thank Him every single day. When I pray to Him, I thank Him in advance for healing and restoring my marriage. It's already done. It's already done. I could go on, but I don't want to take Sophia's time. But I'll come back. So, Sophia, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chris. But no, yeah, I totally agree with what Chris and Lisa are speaking. And a lot of things that I wanted to touch on today is I've seen a lot of people lately say, I don't hear God, or I can't hear God, or did God really say this to me? And my response to that would be, when you say, I can't hear God, take a look at yourself. Take a step back. Are you making time for God? I know we're all busy. I know you guys, I have a lot of free time because my daughter's older, but I know a lot of us on here have younger children. They go to school, they're in activities, you work, you have to do, laundry, cook. We're all busy. We God knows that. We know that. But are you making the time for Him? Yes, we understand you have to get up early and take the kids to school. Why don't you try getting up a little bit earlier, and at least giving, 10, 15, 30 minutes to God just to sit there and, like Lisa says, praise and worship Him, have that one-on-one relationship with Him. That's what He wants. that one-on-one relationship with you. You know, if even if you're in your car driving to work, turn on that praise music. That's what I do. I have a 45-minute drive from my house into town, and that's all I listen to, praise music, and I'm singing in the car. And like Chris says, Chris, Lisa, and myself, we're not immune to the fiery darts of the enemy. Like, we understand, because there's times where we go through it as well, but, you know, we know, you know, throughout this journey how to fight it. And then when I see people say, how do I know if what God told me is what he's really telling me? So I've been reading this book, and I know you guys have probably seen me put it on the prayer wall a bunch of times. It's called Frequency. There's also on YouTube. It's the 7-part series. And this is just gives you so many nuggets of things that you can do in your personal journey to strengthen, to really grow in your relationship with Christ. And like Chris said, you know, people say, is God truly speaking? Well, here are three questions that you can ask yourself to see if what God is, you know, from if what God told you is really what he's saying. So number one, does it line up with the Bible? Does the Bible agree with what you've heard God telling you to do? God's voice will never, again, never disagree God's word. If something that feels like guidance contradicts the revealed word of God in Scripture, then it's not of the Lord. And he gives a perfect example in here, which I thought was kind of funny. He says a friend of his works at another men's group at another church. And one of the men in the group told one of the other guys that God led him to have an affair. You know, the false logic he used was this: God is love. God wants us to be happy. The man wasn't happy in his relationship with his wife, but he was happy with the other person. Therefore, God told him to have an affair. Where in the Bible does it say that God tells you or God sends you another person so that you will leave your spouse? You know, it says in Malachi 2:16, God hates divorce. And, you know, it's all over the Bible. God's not going to contradict his word. Another thing that you could ask yourself or you could do is, does godly counsel agree? You know, sometimes some of us will run a matter by counsel and various factions with I'm sure a lot of people, and I've seen it on the prayer wall, say, well, you know, a biblical counselor is telling me this, but somebody else is telling me this. So various factions of people will give contradictory advice. When that happens, that's a clue that the person is not getting godly counsel, because, again, God never contradicts himself. It might be good counsel, but it's not godly counsel. And when you seek godly counsel, you need to hear God first. You're not asking other people to hear God for you. That's what a lot of people do when they ask for counsel. But the Lord wants to have a personal relationship with you. It's up to you to put in the wonderful legwork of building a relationship with Jesus first. You read your Bible, you pray, you listen for the Lord, you fast, you spend time alone with God. Then after you hear the voice of God, that's the time to seek godly counsel. And the third thing that you can ask yourself is, what God has spoken to you, does it reign peace in your heart? The question to ask is, do I have peace? It always takes faith to follow God, but fear has no part in the experience of following God. Fear is from the enemy. Faith is from the Lord. It took faith for Gideon to follow God as he did. If God is leading, then he will give you peace. The way forward may not be completely revealed. In fact, it probably won't. But we can be completely revealed. But God will have peace. But you will have peace. This is one of the greatest confirmations of God's voice, if you have peace in your heart. So those are my three nuggets, which, you know, I've experienced these three things. And I can say right now that I do have peace in my heart. And I thank the Lord for that. Chris, giving it back to you.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you. And I wanted to, sorry, guys, I'm doing this. I want to do one follow-up to what Sophia said, which I think is really important. We get this a few times where, you know, I'm not hearing the Lord. Are you expecting to hear the Lord? And let me expand on that just a little bit. When we open a Bible, before we open a Bible to read the Bible, are we praying and saying, Lord, I need to hear you speak to me? And we open a Bible and start reading with the expectation of hearing God speak to us. When we go to church, we listen to a sermon. Are we going there to just receive a sermon, or are we going there with an expectation in our heart to hear God speak to us specifically? I remember numerous times where early on in my stand, within the first, 6 months or so, it's happened often. I would go to church, I would hear a sermon, and I would go and I said, Lord, somehow, some way, speak to me through this service. And I'd hear him speak to me. He gave me some incredible scriptures, and he said some very, very intimate things to me. I'm the one who turned your wife's heart away from you. I will be the one to turn your wife's heart back toward you. Did you guys catch that? That was from the Lord to me personally, and I've never shared this because there's so much the Lord shared with me that I'm glad I'm journaling it, but that is one thing. In that statement, did you hear God say anything about the enemy? No. God said, I'm the one who turned your wife's heart away from you. I will be the one who turns her heart back towards you. And I received that from the Lord before I actually opened up the Bible and searched for all the instances where God speaks about he turned this person's heart, he turned Nebuchadnezzar's heart, he turned Pharaoh's heart, back and forth. When I started making a list of all the occurrences in the Bible, the events where God turned someone's heart, whichever direction he wanted, I actually had to stop because after about 15 or 20 of them, I was like, no point. Like, okay, how many verses do I need as proof for God telling me he and he alone turns the hearts? It's not our enemy. Now, he might allow the enemy to do it, but God's in ultimate control of it all. Because we read about that, that's a different subject as well. But God allows Satan, everything that God allows to happen passes through his hands first of approval. And especially if you're a Christian, God's got everything in his hands, every little detail. But let me go back to my main point. Do we go to the Bible? Do we go in prayer? Do we go to a church or sermon saying, Lord, I want to hear you speak to my heart? I've gone to men's Bible. My church has a men's Bible study on Saturday mornings. So I've gone many times where I would, as I'm driving there, I'm saying, Lord, my heart is hungry. It's hungry to hear you say something, anything. You know my heart. You know what I need to hear. You know what my heart needs to hear. Speak to me, Lord. And I would go numerous times. I would go to my men's Bible study, and the guy who was giving the Bible study that morning would speak something directly to my heart about marriage, restoration. Don't quit the storm in the middle of it, because then you're going to have to go the long way around like the Israelites through the desert, which would have taken 3 weeks, should have taken 3 weeks, took them 40 years, etc. And if you quit, you're missing out on all the blessings that God has for you. You're not going to get God's best. So, you know, time after time after time, I would go expecting to hear something, and God was faithful to actually speak to me. So if you're not hearing, are you expecting? Because God's speaking all the time. God wants to be heard. That's part of the relationship. It's not a one-way conversation. I want to share a verse with you guys.
Obedience too, right?
I'm sorry?
part of that could be disobedience as well on our parts if we're not hearing from God.
Yes.
You know what? In our journey, there's two things. There's two things that I've discovered, not just in our journey for marriage restoration, but in any storm, there are two things that are the most important things, the key to going through the storm, whether it's marriage or something else. It doesn't matter. Faith and obedience. Faith is taking God at his word, and we could see 100 different things happening in the flesh, but we say to all of those, no, I know what my God said, so I'm standing on scripture. I'm not looking at what's happening in the flesh. I'm not looking at the physical. So, yes, we see what's happening. Yes, we acknowledge it, but we know that whatever's happening in the physical is from Satan, our enemy. They're fiery darts. They're trying to dissuade us from our stand. The battle, you guys, the battle is about faith. Many times there's many scriptures in the New Testament where it's, you know, we fight the good fight of faith. That's it. The good fight of faith. If we have it deep in our hearts that God is absolute, that we believe God and take him at his word, and that we expect him to heal our marriage because he promised he would, and in our hearts there's no plan B. We've burned the ships. There's no retreat. There's no going back. There's no other option. There's no plan B. There's no plan B, well, I'm going to let him have the divorce and I'm going to move on. You know, I'll stay single the rest of my life, or maybe I'll find someone else, or, you know, maybe it wasn't meant to be, or maybe my marriage was a mistake, or, you know, look at all the things that they said. You know, they're not coming back. Our marriage was a mistake. They never loved me. They're not a Christian. They don't need to be saved. Everybody needs saving, because God didn't create hell for man. God created hell for Satan and his demon angels, period. That's in the scripture. God tells us that. And God's plan for sending Jesus to the cross was to restore us back into a relationship with God our Father, because back with Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they were walking with God in the garden. They had a relationship with him. Sin destroyed that intimate relationship, and then they needed intercessors, prophets, and so on. Jesus now is that final intercessor. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 that Jesus is our high priest, and he makes intercessory prayer for us day and night, all of us. God says, you know, I sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for you, that all may come to repentance and salvation, all, everyone. So that's God's desire. It really is. So whatever we hear our spouse saying that's negative, that's our enemy speaking through them. Whatever circumstances we see that are negative, that are fiery darts coming at us, Ephesians 6. Again, guys, we need to learn this stuff. We need to go and read the Bible, because God gives us everything that we need, all the tools to victory is ours, but if we don't claim it and grab it, I'm not talking about that name it and claim it thing. I'm not talking about that. If God gave us a promise in the Bible, you need to claim that promise. And we claim it in faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We can only please God by believing him. He says only by faith can we please God. How do we please him? By faith. Abraham, the father of faith, he became a friend of God. God says Abraham is his friend. Why? Because Abraham believed him. That's why Abraham is the father of faith. He had the greatest faith of all. And that's why. So faith and obedience. Faith is taking God at his word as absolute truth, that no matter what we see in the flesh, the fiery darts, the things that our spouses are saying or doing, or they're flashing, you know, their other woman or the other man in front of us, or making a point for us to see, all of that. That's our enemy. That's a strategy our enemy is using against us. To do what? To get us to give up the fight of faith. Because that's ultimately all our entire stand is about faith. If you believe God, you're standing on his word, and you will not be moved. There's tons of scripture saying you stand with God, you stand in his in his shadow and almighty and under his wings, he will not let you be moved. Your foot will not be moved. He'll give charge over your angels. Psalm 91, he'll give charge over your angel over the angels to protect you, deliver you from all of your troubles. He will. He will provide for all of your needs. He will. He's done it. And he guarantees all of these things. Faith, that's a subject that if you're not familiar with what it is, I spent a lot of time trying to understand what that is. Because for me, it's like I needed my heart to grasp what faith was. And it took me several months to just listen after sermon after sermon after sermon, digging through the Bible, meditating on different scriptures and verses until it finally started sinking in. Like, now I'm getting it. Faith is saying in your heart knowing, God, no matter what, you're true and everything else is a lie. Let every man be a liar, but God be true. That's faith, when you can say that with your entire heart. My wife is coming home no matter what. I don't know how, and I don't know it. But you know what? I don't need to know how, because his ways are higher than mine. His thoughts are different, are higher than mine. So I don't need to know and understand. I don't need to know. I don't need to know the day or the hour. And here's what I don't want also. I don't want my wife coming home today if God's not ready. Why? Because if God's not ready, what is he bringing me? A half-baked pie? Is he bringing me a wife who's going to, you know, 6 months from now or 2 years from now, we're going to go through this again and she's going to leave because it's a false start? I don't want that. But see, God told me 2 years ago, I removed your wife a different time. He spoke to me. He says, I removed your wife temporarily so that when I do bring her back, I will bring her back and she'll never leave again, your marriage. That's another thing God spoke to me. How amazing is that? You know what? I found a scripture that matches that. It's in the New Testament. I'd have to look up my journal to find the scripture. What's that?
I'm actually pulling up the scripture now. Go ahead.
Okay. So I don't want to beat a dead horse. I want to move on to some other things that I have here in my notes. Here's a great scripture that I came across tons and tons and tons of scripture that I incorporated in my prayers. And because I've incorporated my daily prayers, I've actually memorized them. I can't tell you the book, chapter, and verse, but I'll tell you it's in the Bible. Quick Google search, and it pulls it up right away. I love this one. And if you guys have something to write with, write this one down. I love this one. And the Holy Spirit gave this to me to give you guys tonight. Job 12:16. Job 12:16. With God are strength and prudence. The deceived and the deceiver are God. I remember, I don't know, it was maybe about a year ago or so, when I'm reading the book of Job, I'm reading chapter 12, and I come across this verse. And when I came across this verse, it leaped out off the page so strongly that I was kneeling on the floor or sitting on the floor, just hanging out with God, reading the word. And I literally just dropped the Bible and jumped up in the air, and I said, oh, my goodness. I've read Job before. I've read the entire book several times. But when I came across this verse, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Because, get this, I love the second part. The deceived and the deceiver are gods. When I sat there and meditated on that, I realized, wait a minute. God controls Satan and all the demon angels, and he controls the deceived. Who is the deceived? Your spouse, my spouse, they're the ones right now today who are the deceived. And who's the deceiver? Satan is the deceiver. Satan and all of his army, they're the deceivers. So look at this verse. The deceived are spouses, and the deceiver are enemy. Are God. They belong to God. God has full dominion and sovereignty over both the deceived and the deceiver. Now, if you could meditate on that tonight, I would say write that down and commit that to Scripture and read that, incorporate that in your prayers. What does that look like? Father, thank you for bringing my wife home because you promised me and these other Scriptures. And Father, because I know you're the one who controls the deceived, which is my wife, and you're the one who controls the deceiver who's taken my wife captive and hostage right now to this far country. But I know, Father, that all the other verses and scriptures and promises you've given me, I know you're faithful and you're going to bring her back home because you hate divorce and you join us together as husband and wife, and you said we are one flesh because you made us one flesh. And you said, you told me not to let anything separate the two of us. So because of that, I'm reaching back to the Old Testament. I'm standing in the gap for my wife because you said, I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap. And I said, Lord, send me. Here I am. So because of all this, I know you're, because I take your word. That's what that prayer would look like if you incorporate it. With God, the first part of the verse, let's go back to that. Let's not leave that out because this is important. With God are strength and prudence. God gives us the strength, the courage, and the boldness every single day to walk this path. And there's only one thing we're called to do, you guys. Ephesians 6. Stand after having put on all the armor. What do? We stand. How do we stand? We stand in faith. That's the fight we're fighting. We're not fighting. Listen, let me say this very clearly. We're standing for our marriage. We're not fighting for our marriage. There's a difference. If we're fighting for our marriage, we're fighting the wrong battle. Mm-hmm. And that's where we might find ourselves growing weak and weary because we feel we have to pray 100 times a day. We feel that we have to fast for 100 days. We feel that we need to do this and this and this and this and this and this, and this to get our spouses back and our marriage healed and restored. And I'm going to challenge some of you to tell me, where do we read that in the Bible? Because God says the victory is already won. He already won that victory for us. Let me go to, I have a couple of other scriptures to share with you. Okay, I love this because I just pulled these up as Sophia was speaking. Second Chronicles 20, verse 17. Listen carefully. You, all of us, you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. There's other scriptures. The battle is already won. Jesus Christ won that battle for us at the cross, and we have the victory is already ours. We don't have to fight for the victory. We don't have to do anything except for stand and receive it at God's appointed time. Stand. How do we stand? We have to put on the spiritual armor, Ephesians 6. If we don't do that, we're going to get pummeled. We're going to get beaten up and beaten up and beaten up, and we're wondering, why are my prayers not working? Why am I not answering? Why am I not hearing God? Why don't I see movement? Why is my heart not changing? Why do I keep getting attacked and influenced and impacted and destroyed by the thoughts and the emotions and feelings that are coming from our enemy? We have to recognize where that's coming from. Those are coming from the enemy. God didn't give us any of those. That's our enemy. So if we recognize it's coming from our enemy, and then we stand by putting on spiritual armor, and we stand saying, the battle is yours, God. You've already won it. I have the victory. I just need to wait for it. I just need to wait for it. So here's what we do. Here's how we wait. Here's another way. First of all, you have to put on the spiritual armor because it's a daily battle. Let me say this again. You can't pray and fast today and then ignore God for the next 2, 3, 4 days and then wonder why you're buried in feelings and emotions that are destroying you and your stand. You got to get up every morning and put it on. It's a daily battle. Our enemy, they don't sleep. We sleep, they don't. As a matter of fact, I've heard other testimonials of people saying that Satan works his best time at night when everyone's asleep because no one's praying. Think about that. No one's praying over your spouse. No one's praying over you because you're asleep. God gave charge over the angels to watch over us when we're sleeping. But still, think about that. It's a daily battle. We have to get up every single day put on spiritual armor, and we stand in the victory God's already guaranteed to give us and promised to us. And the only thing we need to have, after having done all of that, at the end of Ephesians 6 in the spiritual armor, it says, having done all that, to stand. We stand in faith. We stand for our marriage. We stand in faith. We also have to obey. That's walking in faith. Because if we believe what God says, then we our actions follow our beliefs. So if we believe that God said our spouses are coming home, God's going to bring them home, we believe the Bible, because God says that in the Bible. If we believe that, take him on his word, then our actions will follow what we're believing of God's word. And our actions then will be unconditionally loving our spouses no matter what. We zip our lips. We don't grow weary and tired, because God says, lean on me and I will give you rest. You know, so many different verses of pressing into God. Whenever we feel heavily attacked, we press into God, and God's there for us, and he'll carry us through that individual battle or those series of battles. God carries us through, but we stand and walk in faith, because we're fighting the good fight of faith. We don't have to fight for our marriages, because God's already done that. The victory is already ours. We stand and fight in faith. When Jesus prayed for Peter, because remember, Jesus said to Peter, you know, tonight before the crow screams out three times, you will deny me three times. Later Jesus said to Peter, I pray for you. Jesus was praying for Peter. Jesus says, I pray for you that your faith fail not. Think about that. It's the faith. It's a faith. Jesus, when he walked around healing people, he was healing people and restoring them and driving the demons out over and over and over again. He said, because your faith, you are healed. Because of your great faith, I've done this. Go, because of your great faith. The woman who had the bleeding for, I don't know, 12 years. I don't know what the number of years. I think it was 12 years. She had 12 years, and she just touched Jesus' coat. And she was immediately healed because she had faith enough, and she received the faith, and that faith healed her. It was her faith. The Samaritan woman who came up to Jesus begging three times, she was begging Jesus Christ to heal her her daughter who was dying. And the first time he ignored her. The second time he spoke around her, and because she was a Samaritan. He says, I didn't come to feed the dogs. I came to feed my children. And then she responds, and here's the faith. The third time she responds to Jesus, and here's where her faith was demonstrated. She says, yes, Master, yes, Lord, but even the dogs receive crumbs from the Master's table. And at that moment, Jesus immediately said to her, go, woman, your faith has healed your daughter. Your faith. It all comes down to faith. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Faith and obedience. But we need to understand, we need to get that settled in our hearts. God will restore your marriage. He wants to. He's on your side. He's fighting the battle. The victory's already yours. We just need to stand in the faith. And if we have a problem with faith, if we have doubt, Lord, help my unbelief, like the father of the son who brought his son to Jesus Christ to be healed. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. If you feel you've got unbelief, pray about it. And God tells us if you've got unbelief, prayer and fasting will drive that all doubt out of your heart. And when you're praying and fasting, dig into the word. Because God says in the Bible, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if you're praying and fasting and you're asking for doubt to be removed, and during that prayer and fasting you're spending more time in the Bible, God's going to do it because God promised. It's not my words, it's not my promises. It's not, well, Chris said this, and I didn't say that. I'm quoting what God said. So I've given you some really, really good scriptures here, and I'm keeping track of time here. We have only about half an hour left. Here's another thing I wanted to mention. So again, Job 12:16. I love that verse because that tells us specifically who's in control of both our enemy and our spouses who's been taken captive by our enemy. God's in control of both. It might appear that our spouses are in control, but I'm telling you, that's the furthest from the truth. I wish I had more time, because I could spend more time on that, because there's testimonials speaking toward that very point. Many testimonials of prodigals who have come back to God and to their marriages say, when I was, even Bob Steinkamp in his books mentioned this, when they were in the far country, those prodigals were in the far country being blinded by the enemy, they say they felt out of control. There's a variation of things that they say. I felt out of control. I felt like someone else was saying these things. I didn't mean them, or I don't remember saying the mean things to you, their spouse that they left, that is. I felt like I was in a fog, and my brain was kind of foggy and hazy, and I couldn't think straight. My own wife told me several times, I'm confused. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she still left. I personally have a friend who's gone through this exact same thing. He told me several times, his own wife told him, I still love you. I still care about you. But I feel out of control. I can't stop. Listen carefully. I can't stop doing what I'm doing. I feel like I have to keep going. You know what she's talking about? She was talking about her affair. She was telling her husband, who was divorcing her because she was having an affair, she was telling him, they were in the car together, and with tears running down her eyes, she looked at her husband, and she says, I still love you. I still love you, but I can't stop what I'm doing. Guys, that's our enemy blinding our spouses. But who's the enemy? The enemy is our deceiver. And mm-hmm. and our spouses are the deceived. And back to Job 12:16, who's in control of both? God is. Who's God? God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, made us, adopted us into his heavenly family, where we are heirs to the throne and we are his children. And if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, it will be open to you. If you being sinful, evil men, give bread to your children when they ask, how much more would our Father give you? Would our Father give you a stone when you ask for bread, or a snake when you ask for a fish? Think about it, guys. God can only think good thoughts towards us constantly. Okay, here's another question. This question here is from our last Thursday night's conference call.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Can I, what the gentleman said earlier about the obedience, can I touch a little bit on that?
Sure, go ahead.
2 seconds, it's not that long. So, I do agree that sometimes, you know, obviously our spouses, but, you know, even us, if we're in disobedience, you know, we will not, you know, hear, we won't be able to hear God speak to us. And here's a perfect example, Jonah in the Bible. So God clearly heard from the Lord, but Jonah did not heed God's voice. So God set into motion circumstances that would convey the message more strongly to Jonah. So when people say that they're not hearing God's voice, you know, when that happens, and here's, a suggestion that the book that I'm reading has, you know, that we do, you know, take a look at our circumstances and then go back to the last thing that God clearly said to us and see if we obeyed what he told us or not. If we can't remember, then, you know, simply encourage, we're encouraged to simply do what Jonah did. Repent, stop going our way, and go God's way instead. Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Good points. Thank you, Sophia. And, okay, so I want to circle back to something that was, that we touched on last Thursday night. And I mentioned again tonight about, you know, the half-baked, you know, pie, as a scenario. we have to wait for God's timing. And I know that we see on the prayer wall, you know, how long, how much longer is it going to be? When's God going to do it? And the truth is God's going to do it when he's done. When he's done and he's ready. His perfectly appointed time. I'm going to go back to Habakkuk 2, and this is actually my rhema word is Habakkuk 2:2-3. Let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. I've got it on Habakkuk 2:2-3. Write the vision to make it plain on tablets that you may read it and run. For the vision is for an appointed time, but at the end of that appointed time, it will speak and it will not lie. And though it takes a while, wait for it. But because it's surely going to come, it won't take too long. So that speaks to God's perfect timing. He's not going to come too early or too late because he's working. Guys, he's working on our hearts as a standards, and he's working on our spouse's hearts as well. So there's work to be done. If God brought your spouse home today and it was premature, what would be different in your marriage? Because I thought about this a lot, and I touched on this last time. If God were to bring my wife back sooner, like now, today, and it's before his timing, I could have false starts, and I don't want that. But what would be different, though? Would she be ready? Would circumstances in her life be orchestrated where it would drive or draw her heart towards a relationship with God, so that way we could work on rebuilding on our marriage on Jesus Christ, the solid rock? Because if her heart is not there yet and ready, then we're just going to have false starts. It's going to be painful for me. It's going to be painful for her. What's changed in you? Are you the same person from when your spouse left? Are you the same person? Because if you're the same person, what are you asking God to do? To bring your spouse back to the same person your spouse left? The same condition of the heart? Same relationship with God? Maybe lacking a relationship with God? If you're not changed, and God hasn't transformed your heart, that you are totally, completely seeking God with your entire heart, your strength, and your mind, you're seeking God. If you're not doing that, then what do you want God to bring your spouse home to? To someone who's not fully devoted in following God? Then do you want the same problems from your marriage past to show up again in your marriage future? Obviously with the same stuff. That's what we're talking about. So that's an important question. So ask yourself these questions. You know, another point of introspection is, do you want the old marriage or do you want the newly remodeled marriage that God wants to bring to you and your spouse? Because if you want the new one where God's going to be at the center of your new marriage that's transformed, where God's at the center, and you allow God to do it his way, then you will have the restored marriage that you want. Because of every restored marriage testimonial, they all say 100%, they all say the same thing. Our marriage today is unimaginable compared to what it was before this crisis hit our marriage. It's unbelievable. God has to say, we still, and they all say the same thing. We still have issues. We still have some arguments from time to time, but we know how to deal with them now. We take them before the Lord with our hearts, and the Lord walks us through it. But the relationship we have, the intimacy we have now, husband and wife, the intimacy they have now is far greater than what they could have even imagined. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask. Let him do his work, guys. Let him do his work. Here's one more scripture that I want to share with you guys. Is another part of our stand should reflect this verse here. And I've come across this a couple of times. Again, it came to my mind tonight before our conference call. If you're taking notes, 2 Timothy 2, 4 through 6. No man that goes to war troubles himself with the affairs of this life, that they might please him who chose him to be a soldier. So in other words, when God has called us to this battle, to this stand, battling for the faith, and stand for our spouses, in this time, we should look at examine our day-to-day lives, look at what we're doing, and then say, how can we screen out some of the stuff that really is not helping us in our stand? And we repurpose that time for time in worship, time in the Bible, time in more sermons, whatever we do, drawing closer to the Lord. No one who is called, no man who is called to war troubles themselves with the affairs of this world. So I myself have done that where there's a lot of entertainment and fun things that I've blocked out, where when my during the week when my children are with me, I do fun stuff with them. But when they're with my wife for her week, I really don't do much other than church and studying the Bible and work, and kind of that. Those are my priorities. Like, everything's taken a back seat. You know, I can go out with friends and do all kinds of stuff, but I'm in a battle right now, and my focus, my attention needs to be on the battle so I can grow in my relationship with the Lord, so I can grow in my knowledge and understanding of what God says in the Bible. Because the more I understand that, then the greater success I have, and the quicker my stand is going to be, at least for my part. God's working on my wife's heart. But if we get caught up in things of the world, then we become less able to stand and stand and fight the good fight of faith. And then we grow wary. Where's our, you know, what's God doing? Why is he bringing back? We take rest. When we do that, we also find rest and peace in waiting for God to do it. Because right now, if you were to ask me, Lisa, Sophia, you know, are you guys okay in the waiting? We're totally content. We're content, we're happy, we have joy and peace in our hearts. That comes from God, because we have that relationship now where we're in the waiting room, we're waiting patiently on him to do his work. And he might have more work to do in us. We don't know. God knows. But we know he will, and he'll do it. So that's kind of it. I had a couple of really small praise reports that I wanted to share, but we are really running short on time. We've got another 10 minutes here. And I wanted to share one testimonial of a restored marriage with you guys that, let me see here, and I have it queued up. So I'm going to turn up the microphone here and then let you guys listen in on this testimonial. We want to share testimonials so that it would encourage you guys to continue fighting the good fight of faith. Here we go. This, I have this. I will be posting this on a website, praisereports.org, sometime soon. I have a lot of them. I just pulled one out of the hat. Here's one.
Bill and Carolyn Reeser met and dated while in college at Eastern Kentucky University. Bill was a basketball star with a hard partying lifestyle. Carolyn was in love. I wanted to get to know him more and started asking around about who this guy is, this cute guy from New York.
Carolyn was the only person that would listen to me, and she was the only person that really cared for me despite what I did and who I was.
After college, they moved to New York, married, and had a daughter.
We would argue because I would feel like he wasn't spending enough time with our daughter. I was basically doing everything to raise her.
The fact of the matter was, my wife and my daughter just wasn't a priority. I didn't know what love was. When we got married, I just thought I'd give it a good shot.
His best shot wasn't very good. Carolyn realized something was not right in her life and in their marriage. She had grown up as a Christian, but had put her faith aside since she met Bill.
God started drawing me back to him. My heart was just seeking after him. So I started realizing I want to be in a relationship. I want to be in community. I want God back in my life because I just felt like I'm supposed to be a Christian, but I'm not acting like it. Something is not right. Something's missing.
Carolyn recommitted her life to Christ. Bill wanted nothing to do with God. He was living a double life, drinking heavily and using drugs. He had several affairs he kept hidden from Carolyn. Until one night, she overheard Bill on a phone call with his mistress.
I never thought he would ever cheat on me or have affairs with other women. That's just something I never considered. I thought he would always be true blue. I couldn't believe that that was happening to me. Well, at that point, we were looking at divorce.
Me moving out was the only option. I knew that I lost my daughter, I lost my wife, and it was the lowest point in my life.
Bill and I had talked about having a meeting to discuss a divorce and how we were going to split up everything, and I knew that I had to go for counsel and prayer before that meeting. So I went, and the pastor prayed a prayer over me and prayed for peace that passes understanding. And I've heard that phrase all my life, never really thought about what it meant, never really experienced it. The peace that God gave me when I prayed for him to help me forgive Bill, it's just like he said yes. And it was like a weight being lifted off of me, and it was like the car was just being filled with his love. It's amazing.
Bill was prepared to talk about their divorce. But when Carolyn entered the house, he could tell something had changed.
She never stood before me with a confidence like that. And when she started to speak, I knew that it was God speaking to me. She said, God can forgive you for anything that you've ever done, and so can I. I don't know if I could ever forget the things that you've done, but I'm willing to give it a try if you're willing to give your life to Jesus Christ. I realized for the first time in my life that God loved me despite me. And I made a decision that night to give my life to Jesus Christ. And I knew my marriage wasn't saved then. I knew that I had done a lot of damage to it. And I needed to go fight for this thing. And that's what I did. I set out on a journey to go fight for my marriage and to go love my wife.
I thought, how am I ever going to trust him again, knowing what he did, even though I've forgiven him? And I knew God said, you don't have to worry about him. You trust me, and I'll take care of him. And then I saw Bill chasing after God, so I never looked back.
I know that it's truly impossible to love someone else the way God intended us to love that person unless we've received the love that God has for us that can only come through a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ.
Our marriage today is so strong. We love each other more than we ever have. We just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary with God. In the middle, there's no situation that we can't conquer because God is our victor. And I really wish people could surrender themselves and their marriages over to him, because he can change ours and restore and redeem it. I know he's willing to do that for any and all marriages that are willing to do the same.
Okay, so I hope you were all encouraged by that video. There's so many testimonials of restored marriages. I'm going to say, I say this all the time. Every single day, God restores marriages. They're out there everywhere. You can find them on YouTube. You can find them on multiple different websites. God's restoring marriages every single day, because that's what God does. He wants to restore his relationship with you, or restore us to him and our prodigals. And he also is in the business of restoring relationships, because he's the one who created relationships and he's the one who created marriage. And he wants to do that all the time. And he does it all the time. There are countless and countless numbers of restored marriages everywhere. And that's why I created that website, praisereports.org. You've got to go visit, because Revelation 12:11, we read, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ's death on the cross, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And a testimony, if God did it before, he'll do it again. He will do it again. That's what the Hebrew root meaning of testimony means, do it again. So we overcome, Revelation 12:11, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. So testimonials are such an important tool, because if you watch them over and over and over again, and many of them, as many as you can, and you just watch them repeatedly, it sinks down into your heart, where you then understand God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's sovereignty, and God's plan of restoration. First, you and your spouse to Him, and then your marriage. Now, sometimes God might bring a spouse home where they're somewhat repentant. They just return home, but they're not fully committed to God yet. So that could work either way. I've seen it both ways. But God wants to restore us to Him, and He wants to restore our marriages. That's what God's in the business of doing, because all of these things are good things, and He created them, and they belong to Him. And Satan came to do nothing but kill, steal, and destroy the good things that God gave us, our spouses and our marriages. So anyway, that kind of concludes our evening for tonight. We're kind of done. I want to do two things real quick. First, I want to recap steps towards restoration. We cannot encourage you enough. Spend more time, make more time in a day to spend with God in the morning, preferably, so we show God that we're serious, we're committed to Him, and we take Him seriously, that we put Him first in our day, number one. Number two, memorize some scriptures that when you're attacked by the fiery darts or something that your spouse says or does, you could immediately pray and praise the Lord through those scriptures you've committed to memory. That's important, because if you've got a new memory, wherever you are, no matter what your circumstances or situation is, you can instantly, the Holy Spirit will help you recall that, and then you can use that in your prayer and praise to the Lord in that time when you're being attacked. So memorize some scripture. Lisa gave you some good scriptures. Find a song that touches your heart during this stand, and use that as praise and worship. And then the other thing is, spend more time in the Word. If my people perish for the lack of knowledge, if we don't understand, if we don't know God's Word, it's hard for us to stand on his promises, because we don't know what He's saying. We don't know what His promises are. So we've got to spend more time in the Word to discover Him, one, speaking to us, and to commit it to memory, and then to grow in our understanding of who He is, His nature, His character, and all that He has already done for us so we can receive it. And the other thing is testimonials. On the RMM website, there are a ton of testimonials of restored marriages. There's videos there. There's podcasts, praisereport.org website. There's, all of it is about that. So all of these things are steps toward restoration. If you're serious about getting your spouse back and restoring your marriage, these are the steps you have to take, because everyone who's had a restored marriage has taken these steps. And it all starts with drawing closer to the Lord and moving in that direction. Okay, and all these other things happen. The last thing I want to do real quick is we want to remind everyone the power of the tongue can bless or curse. So when you're posting, when you're speaking, speak life into your spouse and your marriage. I don't refer to my wife as my ex-wife. I've never done that. And I refuse to. She's my wife, period. I treat her like my wife. Some other time when we have more time, I could share more praise reports on that and her reaction to these small things that I do. Just this past week, I've had two small praise reports of things that her reaction to my position that I've taken. You're my wife. I'm going to love you and treat you and speak to you as my wife no matter what. And she responds likewise. She responds to me doing those things. And two of those things came up this week. We're out of time. I can't share them with you. So having said that, does anyone have any closing comments or remarks or anything? We could take a minute or two, and then we're going to close out in prayer. Anyone?
No, mine's too long.
Okay. Well, then how about we bring you, we'll give you some space next week for maybe give him some feedback if you want to, if you care to.
I would love to. I'm on here every week.
Perfect. Okay.
I would like to share to the women that may not know that on this call, the women have put together a group. We have a texting group where we provide support to one another. There's one main rule, and that is that we cover our husband in love. But it is, if you're interested, you can text me. This is Lisa. And I want to encourage the men to do something similar, because if you don't have a person that you can reach out to in the middle of the day when you're feeling kind of, you know, down and out, or what, you just need a pick-me-up, you really should have that accountability partner, if you will. This journey is a tough journey. It's uphill. So you can feel like really just throwing in the towel at times. So I encourage you, the men, to get with Chris and get your group going. Sometimes the issues that we women are facing, or a lot of times, are different than some of the issues that you men are facing. So we don't want y'all to know what we're talking about. As a woman, though, if you're interested and you don't know, you can text me, and I'll give you my number, which is 703-508-7976. Like I said, this is not a place to come and gripe about our husband. Like I said before, we know that all of us have been deceived in some way or another, and all of us have been under the influence of the enemy. Only God can draw us in. He says, with loving kindness have I drawn them. We cannot slander our spouses. When you do that, you stand in agreement with the enemy. You stand in agreement with negativity, and you hurt your own relationship with God and your own relationship for your marriage to be restored. So just wanted to share that. And love all of you. We understand it is not easy. So get yourself somebody to reach out to in the middle of the day.
And one more thing, Lisa, that I wanted to touch what you just said and piggyback on that when you said not to slander your spouses. Another thing you want to keep in mind is you don't slander the other person as well, because that person is loved. God loves that person just as much as he loves you. So, you know, just do not speak negatively of the other person.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We'll close it out with prayer. Do we have anyone who would like to close us out in prayer? If you could just go ahead and start praying. Anyone? Okay. I'll close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to come before you. We want to thank you for this opportunity, this time together, that we can come and we can share your truth. Father, we pray that as we move forward in our evening tonight and for the weekend and through next week, Father, I pray that you would reach out and touch each and every single heart that's on this call or will listen to the conference call later, Father, that you would continue working, finishing the good work you began in all of us, that you continue to draw each of us, including our spouses, towards you, that you continue to send out your Holy Spirit to encourage every single stander who's standing for their marriage, that they would not give up the fight of faith, to not give up standing on your word and your promises, Father, but that you would draw us closer to you by giving us the will and desire to seek your truth and seek your face and seek your kingdom and seek your word, that it might renew our hearts and change, and that you might change us, our hearts first, and that we could reach that place of you being everything and all that we need, and that we, once we reach that place where we have you in our hearts, that we would be lacking nothing, and we would be content in all of our situations and all of our conditions. We would learn to be content. And Father, we pray that you would provide for all of our needs, whatever everyone has different needs, if they have financial help, living, a place to live. Father, if they have needs for their kids, other family members, extended family, Father, we pray that you continue to hear each and every cry and each and every prayer that cries out to you. Father, remember your faithfulness. Remember your words, Father, that that you love us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that you will always provide for our needs. So, Father, I pray for each and every single need that that all of us on this call might have, that you would meet us there and provide for our needs in only the way you can. And, Father, we pray that you would also continue to shield and guard our hearts and our minds from the lies, deceptions, and the attacks of our enemy, who wants nothing more than to get us to quit our stand and quit our and diminish our faith in you. That if we diminish, if we let go of our faith and we quit and we walk away, then we're giving up on the victory that you have prepared for us. So, Father, help us, encourage us through the Holy Spirit, giving us all peace in our hearts, your peace that passes all understanding, that we might lean on you in those hard times, walk with you, trust in you, seek you in all things, that we might experience your presence in our daily lives and in our stand, that we might learn to stand with you, stand full in the gap for our spouses, and learning to increase our faith, to cast out doubt, and to take, even if baby steps at the beginning, take steps of obedience, Father, to walk in obedience in whatever you call us to do while we are standing for our marriages and for our families. We ask in Jesus' name you would do all of this. Amen. All right,
amen.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. We'll stand a prayer wall. We'll see you next Thursday night on the conference call. God bless.
God bless you guys. Good night.
Good night. God bless.
Good night. Good night.